few words of encouragement, thanks to God, because Satan is raising a war on deception against the church. How does he do this, and how can we stop it? We're in a war, thanks to God. So you see, in every war, both sides goes into the battle with a plan of a strategy. If you don't have a plan or a strategy, you usually is defeated. Satan have a plan against his church and all Christians. Satan's main strategy is a five-fold plan. See, his plan is doubt, make you question God's word and his existence. Discouragement, make you look at your problem with hopelessness. Diversity, make the wrong thing seem attractive and important so you will want them more than the right things. Defeat, make you feel like a failure so that you don't even want to try anything anymore. Delay, make you put off doing what you need to do that is never will get done. So these are the fivefold plans of Satan. But we know that Satan, he is the father of liars. So we see in John 8 and 44, it said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Satan accomplished his strategy through his lies. You see, Satan, like I said, Satan, he is the father of lies. And so, thanks to God, the church of today need to stand up and speak up to combat these lies. What are some of these, what are some of these biggest lies of Satan? One, lie that he tell, the word of God is not true. So thanks to God, we have to be careful on who we listen to, who's speaking, what we're watching, and what we're doing. Because we can get, like Tammy said, we can get so involved in this world system that we forget the who is we really focusing on, the word of God. So we see God told Adam and Eve not to eat the forbidden fruit, but Satan tricked them into not believing what God said and disobeying him. The result is sin and expulsion from the paradise. So you see, thanks to God, when you look at God's word and dismiss it as untruth, there is a consequence. You have some kind of consequence. So you either believe God's word or you don't believe God's word. The choice is left up to you. You got a choice. And we as believers, we should believe and stand on every word that the Bible say. See, sin comes about by a process. In part one, it comes by fascination. No, conceited. You think about a thing, and it will multiply and multiply until it grow bigger and bigger than you want it, and you believe it. Part two, the form is an avenue, like the apple, adulterous, murder. See, all that comes. Then you have for fulfillment. It's the commitment, completing the action. And part four is conviction, which understanding the severe of your action or actions. You see, some people go back and forth between one and two. But most resist the temptation and feel the desire or their fascination. Some people never reach part four. They keep going back from 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But we have to be careful, saints of God, that, like I said, we got to focus on God's word. We can't be caught up in the tricks of the devil and his plans. We got to have our own strategies. We got to have our own strategy. What is our own strategy? The word of God. We got to stand on the word of God. See, Adam and Eve, they rejected God's word and brought about the end of man's dream. Adam didn't eat the whole apple, just a bite. He couldn't have used the defense. It was only a little sin. There's no such thing as a small sin, saints of God. Either you sin or you don't. No sin is small in God's eye. See, a small bullet, it can kill you. A small blood clot can stop your heart. A small virus can infect and kill you. See, it's no small thing about the devil. Nothing is about the devil is small. He might make it come in small package, but eventually it's going to grow until you have the results of death and destruction. So you see, God's solution is to separate sinful from the righteousness so they cannot be infected by them. The devil don't want you to believe the word of God. He'll tell you that what will make you free is alcohol, drugs, depression, oppression. But God's word says different. God's word will set you free, saints of God. We see in John 8:32, it said, "Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So it left up to you, saints of God, not just depending on somebody telling you the truth, but you got to read for yourself and know the truth and speak the truth. Because when you know the truth and speak the truth, that is what will set you free. It's not, like I said, it's not about what other people saying or what you hear other people saying. It's what the word said. We got to stand on the word of God. See, God will make it, number two, God will make an exception for my sin. Saints of God, do not believe that. That's a lie of the devil. And see, that's what he wants people to believe. God forgive you the sin. Yes, he have forgiven the sin. He died for your sin. But that don't mean you have to continue to go out there and repeat sin. God forbid. Repent, turn, and keep working and standing on the word of God. You see, God will not make any exception for sin because he had already done it through his son, Jesus Christ. To do so will be against his character. God already judges sin. For instance, Solomon and Gomorrah. Noah generation for evil deed. Israel for disobeying and idolatry. So whatever your sin is, saints of God, I encourage you today to repent and turn from it. Number three. We see that the lies of Satan, I can't be happy in a Christian life. You find that a lot of people, saints of God, will say that. And sometimes, really, we as believers make them say that. The way we live our life, we supposed to be example as Christ is our example. We should be the example to the world. We are the light of the world. We should be example. But it's so easy for an unbeliever to say that I can't be happy in a Christian life. Are you happy now? Drunk? Depressed? If you die as a non-Christian, you will wake up in hell. Where will be which we will be tormented forever. That doesn't sound like happiness. So we have to tell the people, saints of God, what the word of God says and everything. God desires for none to perish, none to go to hell. And it is our job to go and preach the gospel. Words that go to all world and preach the gospel to all creation. So it's our job not to listen to Satan in his life. It's not our job to get comfortable in it. Yes, we're going to have trials and tribulation, but yet in the end, we know that we have victory because Christ has overcome the world, and he has overcome it with victory. So we, being in Christ, saints of God, we have that victory, and we have the victory of overcoming these lies of Satan. So you see, the Bible said that God can give you joy that surpasses all understanding. So not the joy that the world gives, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace of God that passes all understanding. And thanks to God, when you get God peace, ain't no devil in hell can change that, can snatch away. No matter what the world is going through, no matter what this nation is going through, when you get that peace of God, that's a peace that passes all understanding. You see, it's the music that you listen to or the TV program that you are watching. Are that making you happy? I know we as saints of God, we not listen to the lies, but see, these are the lies, these how the lies come into our spirit, get into our spirit by listening to this different music, watching these different television programs and doing, you know, listen to people instead of keeping our eyes on God and his word. You see, some of this music and some of these television and some of these novel books, they put, you know, things in your spirit that you can't be hard for you to get out. See, some music have the lyrics, I hate my pain, life is terrible. That's why we have so much suicide, because we're not standing on the word of God, but we listen to the lies of the devil. You know, I'm miserable and I want to die. I'd rather feel pain than nothing at all. Is that happy, thanks to God? We have to get out of these four walls and go out and talk to the people that is lost. There's people out there crying, what about me? What about me? It is our duty as saints of God to go out there and preach the gospel. Get these lies of Satan out of their spirit, out of their eyesight, out of their ears. But let them know that God loves them. They don't have to listen to the lies of the devil. See, your body is worn down and out. Is that happiness? Consult with great physicians. See, thanks God, that's what we as a nation, as American, we run to a physician quick, very quick, and these specialists out there, instead of running to God. See, in America, the most prescription drugs are anti-depression, high blood pressure medication, anti-anxiety. Does this sound happy to you? We got to consider, saints of God, who we are and whom we are. Number four, there are many ways to get to God. See, that's another lie of Satan. You ain't got to be a Christian to get to God. You ain't got to believe his word. See, religion is a man-made way to get to God. I'm going to say that again. Religion is a man-made way to get to God. There are many religions, but only one way to get to God. You see, Noah's ark, which represents Jesus Christ, salvation, only had one door. Any religion that denied Jesus Christ as the Son of God, it is a cult. See, all that is a lie of the devil. See, the New Age religion says you can get to God without Jesus. Lie. You can become God yourself. As a Christian, as a believer, lie. But yes, you can. You can become God yourself. Because you can get God, the true and living God, out of your life. And you can become God yourself. You can make things your outer God. But we as believers know that there's only one true living God. So you said you can become God yourself. Just be good and try hard enough and you'll get there, or there is no heaven, or there's no heaven or no hell, but higher plane of existence. Either saints of God, you're going to believe the word or you don't. See, this is New Age religion telling the people lies, lies, lies. These are lies of the devil. And we as saints of God, we got to rebuke those lies and teach people the truth. You see, in John 14:6, it said, God answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if anybody tell you, saints of God, that that's not true, just look them straight in the eyes and tell them, I believe it, God said, and it is true, and you is lying. Because that is a lie when they tell you there's other ways. Like I said, we have to be keen on the word of God. We got to study to show ourselves to prove. We can, sometimes, thanks to God, we as believers, we back off because we are uncomfortable on speaking the word of God. Sometimes we back off because we don't know the word of God. But we, as saints of God, if you're born again, even if you don't know exactly where to find it, because sometimes I have to ask my wife, tell me where so-and-so found that? I can quote the scripture, but what book did they find in? What verse is found in? You know, and she said, blase, blase. But if we got the Holy Spirit, it will lead and guide us, but we got to get it down into us. We got to get the word down in us where the Holy Spirit can bring it up when we're in these battles with these people that standing on the word of Satan, his battle in his battlefield, on his battlefield, these demons, nice, unbelieving people. So like I said, the only way to God, thanks to God, is through Jesus. Number five, my sins affected only me, and it is my business. I know you heard people say, this is my business. I know we heard that because a lot, you know, especially on your job and stuff, you know you're supposed to be doing it, but it's my business. They ain't gonna find out. They ain't gonna know. But even with that, they might not find out you taking a pen, a pencil, but eventually it's affecting me and other people because it's causing the company money to replace those items. We said that, that's my business, but make no mistake, sin will destroy your sons, your daughter, for generation. The book of Job tells the story of Achan, who disobeyed Joshua. disobeyed Joshua's order not to take any plunder from the city of Jericho. Achan disobeyed, and Israel were later defeated in battle. Achan, his wife, and his children were stoned. Did Achan's sin affect only himself? So you see, thanks God, we have to be mindful of the things that we said. This is my business. It's my business. It ain't going to affect nobody else. But it does affect other people. See, when a father's in jail, it destroys his family. When a drug addiction destroys his family. Children follow the example of their parents when they not living right. Or are you leading them? That would destroy a family for generation after generation. So parents, your children is looking at you. So we have to be careful as parents on how we act and how we respond, you know, to each other and to others, because our children, and especially small ones, they like sponge. They just sucking right on them. They'll suck it up so quick and so easy. So we have to be careful about the lies that we speak, even in jest. We have to be lies. Be careful of those lies. See, smoking, alcohol, drugs. See, they, for them alone, can destroy your family. They can destroy you. There is no judgment day or consequences for my sin. Number six. That's a lie. Whether you believe in hell or not, you can still go there. Whether you believe in gravity or not, you can still fall 5 stories off a building and die. What you believe to be true have no bearing on what is true, thanks to God. You can believe a lie, but in the end results, you're gonna be a failure. You're gonna be destroyed. So believe is, yes, it's easier to believe the word of God than it is, yes, it's easier to believe a lie. See, a lie, it makes things so easy. Because a child, you don't have to teach them to lie, but it's so easy for them to lie. But it's so hard for you to teach them to tell the truth. So it left us, you know, because I guess a lie really within our flesh, it make us feel good. That's what it does. The lie make our flesh feel good. But the truth, it's irritating. That make a battle, because the truth and the lie, you know, they start battling, and that flesh don't want it. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to walk the narrow and straight. I want to be out here and party. I want to be out here and drink. I want to be out here fornicating. I want to be out here watching these X-rated movies. I want to be drinking my alcohol. I want to listen to go out there and boogie down. I want to do all this and everything, because the flesh, that's what it's there. It want to enjoy life. It don't want to live life. It want to enjoy life. So we have to be careful and let the people know there is a judgment day coming, and there is a consequence for your sin. We see there are some ministers who preach that hell doesn't exist. Even today, thanks to God, there's people teaching that and preaching that there's no hell. There might be a purgatory, but is a hell or heaven? Either you're going to hell or you're going to heaven. Ain't no between. So, yes, we got to stop sugarcoating these God's word, and just tell them just like it is. Because that's what people want to hear. You know, like the Bible said, itching ears, here gonna come time, itching ears, they want to hear anything but God's word. So, you see, there is no judgment to fear. Some might say there was a powerful preacher out west declaring an unorthodox document by World Bishop Council. Most of his original congregation left him. Why? He declared everybody is okay. He called it the inclusion gospel. This is false gospel, saints of God. This is a false doctrine that he was teaching. The Apostle Paul warned the Colossians about steering clear of false doctrine. We see in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, see to it that no one take you captive through of olive and deceitful philosophies which depend on human tradition and the basic principle of this world, rather than on Christ. Also, in the same chapter, verse 23, it says, search regulation indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sexual indulgence. So you see, saints of God, everyone, believe and unbelieve alike, will be judged. You save or you're not, you're going to be judged. The word said, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So like I said, whether you believe, you're a believer or you're not, there is going to be a judgment day. See, your soul will live forever somewhere, whether it be in heaven or in hell. So saints of God, why take the chance that your soul will live in hell forever? Like one person said, what do you have to lose? Take a chance. Take life. Not curse. Blessing, not curse. Life, not death. It's just as easy to do life than it is to do death. Either way, you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance to go to heaven, or you're taking a chance to go to hell. But what I heard about hell, I wouldn't want to go there. I would take my chance in trying to live right and do right and accept Christ as my Lord and Savior and go to heaven than to go to hell. You have a choice, saints of God, and you have to tell them, you have a choice to listen to the word of God or continue to listen to the lies of the devil. See, scientific principles of energy, we see that's the scientific principle of religion, telling you, there's no heaven, no hell. But thanks to God, they're going to wake up one day and they're going to see there's a judgment day and there is a heaven and there is a hell. Okay, number 7. I have plenty of time to get saved. And that's a big one. Out of all, Satan's most powerful lie, even if you don't believe the other six, this senior one can defeat you, thanks to God. I have plenty of time. You don't know how much time that you have left. Before I finish this message, someone can be killed over and gone. Just that quick. You don't know the time. So stop listening to those lies. I have plenty of time to do this. Even at the house, in the natural, I sometimes say, well, I got plenty of time to do, get this done, cut the yard, or whatever, wash the car. But end up, it's rain, the grass, and cause to get my grass treated, and so when rain is like this, continued rain is like this, and now I'm out there sweating, trying to push the mower, get a cut. I didn't have plenty of time because it rained. And my grass, my lawn, it grew. And I, like on Sunday, I rest. I don't go out there and cut on Sunday, but who knows? Thanks to God, you do not have plenty of time. Stop listening to God. God, listen to Satan's lies about you have plenty of time. You see, it says, I go next week to church. God doesn't delay in writing your name down in the book in the Lamb Book of Life. Don't delay asking it for it to be written there, thanks to God. You could die any day or any time. No one knows the day or the hour of their death, nor does anyone know the day or the hour of Christ's return. Nobody knows but God himself. So you don't have plenty of time. Tell me you don't have plenty of time. When you open your eyes in eternity, where will you be? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in heaven or do you want to be in hell? Let's make that a certainty today, saints of God. So you see, saints of God, that was Satan's battle plan. But God has a battle plan also. See, Satan, he works through the mind of people. That's how he works. That's his whole strategy plan, working through the minds of people. But we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, it said, the weapon we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On the contrary, they have divided power to demonstrate stronghold. We demolish arguments and every potential that set itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought made in obedience to Christ. So you see, saints of God, we have the power to cast down imagination in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because like I said, that's the way Satan used our mind. But we have the knowledge of God to pull down these strongholds, that these lies that he is telling. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, it says, write that one down. It says, if you rise, I cause you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members be perished than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand cause you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you to that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. So you see this passage of scripture use warfare technology for our battle against sin. In order to be holy and pure, both in heart and body, we must fight. War isn't easy, saints of God. Our enemy is reluctant in trying to comfort his prey, and lust is one of his most useful weapons in this battlefield. For your mind, Paul said, we must take captive every thought, made it obedient to Christ. See, like I said, Satan, with his lies, he tried to attack our mind. And if your mind is weak, saints of God, you're going to have trouble. If you're not keep feeding yourself, not fed up and prayed up with the word of God, it's going to be easy for him to defeat you through your mind. See, Satan always targets the mind. It is our primary battlefield. He bombards every believer mind with sexual image and thought. For instance, TV commercials. You turn on every commercial that is, is some type of sexual perversion now. Even with cars, you find a woman with bikini on, barely covering anything, but sexual perversion. And see, looking at all that stuff, it's coming into your spirit, into your mind and everything, and that's how Satan works. Oh, you might not see it, but you keep looking at these different things and everything, eventually he's going to get down in your spirit, and he's going to, Satan going to know your action, and he's going to put a little more out there. If you, just like going fishing, you might put a nibble out and you get a bite and everything. Keep putting it out there, get a bite. That's the way Satan is. He's going to put something that he knows that you're attracted to bait you in and taking the whole bait. So we see he does this through the world system, which he ruled in his misery, Mars or demon. He understands that if he controls the mind, he can control your body. So if we are going to learn to control our body in a way that is pure and honorable, like 1 Thessalonians 4:4 said, we must fight to control our mind. You see, Satan attack our minds overlap with his attack on our eyes and our ear. See, those is the gateway. Mm-hmm. It is through the eyes and ears that input is given to our mind. Therefore, by guiding the first two, we guard the latter. However, that is not the only way we can guard our mind. In order to guard our mind, we must recognize ungodly thoughts and ideal by testing them against the Word of God. In order to guard our mind, we must recognize ungodly thoughts and ideal by testing them against the Word of God. You see, David said in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, revealing the soul. Statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. See, this Hebrew word for simple hath the meaning of open-minded. The ancient Greek described it as someone whose mind was like an open door. Everything went in and everything went out. This person is gullible and will believe anything. His mind is open even to thoughts and images that should be rejected. However, David said, by filling the mind with God's word, one become wise to discern what is not of God. Hebrews 5:14, a reference point on that. Wisdom is scripture's primary reference to knowledge of God and obedience to him. Reference point, Proverbs 9:10. This is why scripture described the fool as one who said, there's no God. Psalms 14:1. We see, thanks to God, if we put our mind on the things of God, Philippians 4:8, it says, I didn't write that one, although we are very familiar with scripture. It says, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue and there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, saints of God, right there, if you focus on that verse, you ain't got time to think about Satan lies and letting stuff come into your mind. That right there is a test right there. That's a scripture right there that you can use to test any thoughts and idea against God's word. That scripture right there, Philippians 4:8. You see, saints of God, the Bible tells you and gives you ways to defeat Satan and how him and avoid him from using your mind. See, a person does not know the word of God will have difficult testing what's not good and therefore have difficult protecting himself. His mind will continue to be saturated with ungodly thoughts, sexual image, lusts meant to control and destroy him. He will lack the power and discernment to close the door on sexual thoughts, and many times will not only accept them, but also cultivate them. When you still, thanks to God, in other words, when you continue to look at something and continue to think about something and everything, that thought eventually is going to start cultivating in your mind and everything. And eventually, if you don't be careful, you're going to end up doing that very ungodly thought. So you see, if you're going to protect your mind, we must realize what is not godly. When watching TV shows, listening to music, and engaging in ungodly conversation that cultivate and stir up lust, the simple exception which pollute our soul, while the wise recognize what would dishonor God's temple. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it said, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own?" See, saints of God, your body is bought with a price. You ain't your own. So we have to be mindful of what things that we let into our body. We got to be mindful of the things that we watch, we say, and the conversation that we keep, the company that we keep. With all that said, God in our mind does not stop at recognize what is ungodly by testing it against God's word. Also, in order to guard our mind, we must reject the ungodly by using God's word. We must use God's words while the simpler doors, while the simpler open the door, or open the door, the wise close the door. Again, this is done first by recognizing what is wrong and then using truth to combat what is false and sinful. When Christ was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he quoted scripture to reject Satan and his lies. We could do the same. Arm yourself with memorizing Bible verses related to lust, purity, and as such. Matter of fact, arm yourself with Bible verse for anything that will occur in your life. If it it could be financial, it could be sickness, it could be family problems, it could be anything. Whatever mountain that's in your life, memorize scripture to fight against it. Amen. So you see, you have heard that it is said, "You should not commit adultery." But I said to you, anyone who's look at a woman with lustful intent have already committed adultery in her heart. Matthew 5:27-28. So we see that 1 Corinthians 6:18-20, it says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immorality is a sin against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God with your body." So you see, thanks to God, for you are instructing, for you know what instruction we give you through the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is his will, or God, your sanctification, that you attain from sexual morality or anything else that is not of God, that each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one are transgression and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is avenger in all these things, as we are told you beforehand and solemnly warn you, for God have not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregard this, regard not man, but God. When you disregard that, the word of God, you're not disregarding me, a pastor, or anybody else that's teaching you. You were disregarding God, because that's his word, not my word. But I'm standing on the word, not pastor word, but it's God's word. He's standing on the word. He's teaching the word. So as you disregard that word and everything, you're not disregarding us. I'm not going to get offended, but you disregarding God. You probably later on will be offended when God will, when you realize what you is doing. Who give his Holy Spirit to you? God. So you see, saints of God, when we are attacked by lust, we need to quote equivalent scriptures, confessing wrong thought, lust, imagine before the Lord, and ask him to take them away. In our war for our mind, we must take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Also, the last one is, in order to guide our mind, we might at times need to command the devil to leave in Jesus' name. Sometimes we are scared to speak to the devil. Tell him, command him to leave in the name of Jesus. Again, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he initially responded for temptation with quoted scripture, but ultimately he commanded the devil to leave. Matthew 4, 10, 11. When described this, when Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angel came and ministered unto him." You see, simply at time, you may need to do this. When battle with lust, anything that's in your life is not of God, which is especially difficult, we can be sure that the enemy has set up camp in those areas. And we may need to pray in authority over these demonic strongholds to be broken in the name of Jesus. Some struggle with this, arguing that authority over the demonic was conclusive for Christ and his apostles. Thanks to God, the word is for you. The written word is for you. The logo word is for you. The rhema word is for you, especially for you, if it's rhema word. So it wasn't just for Jesus and his apostle. It's for us also. So we got to pray in authority over these demonic strongholds to be broken in Jesus' name. So, however, I believe that many evidence demonstrate that this is for every believer. For instance, Christ is our perfect model for everything in life, including spiritual welfare. Reference Philippians 2, 5 and 11, Hebrews 12, 2 and 4, 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24. You see, these just reference to the example. Christ is an example to us. We should model our life at the perfect example of humanity. His example is defeating the devil in the wilderness is not only descriptive, but prescriptive. So in other words, thanks God, if Jesus uses it, we can use it. other believers command demons to leave through the New Testament in Acts 16:8. Paul commanded a spirit of divination to leave a slave girl in the name of Jesus. In Acts 8:6-7, Philip, who was probably one of the early deacons, also cast out demon. Yes, Paul was an apostle, but Philip was not. This was practiced by the early church. So you see, saints of God, it's not just for God, was for apostles and the preacher to use, but it's for all believers to use. You see, the final scripture illustrating that Christ had given us his authority based on our union with him. If we got a relationship with Christ, saints of God, we got the authority and the power to use what Jesus said and did to defeat the devil. In Ephesians 1:20-22, the strive for position authority at the right hand of the Father, seated above power and principality in the heavenly realms. And then in Ephesians 2:6, is the strive how believers are seated with him. Again, this seating is not primarily a location, but a position or authority which believers have in Christ. So we got that position, we got that authority in Christ, saints of God, to use his word and use his name and claim the blood of Jesus over any situation in our life. You see, saints of God, in fact, one day we will be judged. We will judge fallen angels with him because of this position. We will have authority over the demonic just as the apostles in the early church did, and we are called to conquer them with the spiritual weapon God has given us. Unfortunately, many believers neglect their authority, not only to their own determined, but also the determined of others. So you see, saints of God, we got to realize we have the authority, but we studied in Bible class the authority of the believers. And we got to use that authority that we have to defeat the word of Satan. So in closing, saints of God, James said this: so submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. As we submit to God through his word, prayer, and the ministry of other saints, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. However, at times, resisting, including commanding the demon to leave in the name of Jesus, as demonstrated by Christ and the early church. Amen.